Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Wherever you are in the world, I am Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Rob?
Today, Russell, I am feeling like the streets are alive.
Really? What, the streets of Margate?
Yeah, the streets of Margate. And it feels good because even though we've been in this crisis for so long and it seems to be continuing and actually getting worse now again because we're heading back into winter, there's been something in Margate that has sort of caught my eye during lockdown, because there's an artist who makes paintings on often disused buildings, or kind of like building sites or hoardings that have been neglected and forgotten about. And over the years, when I used to work in Shoreditch at Carl Friedman Gallery, I would always like walk around there and get lunch. And subconsciously, you begin to pick up this visual language of different street artists. And the artist that we're meeting today is someone that I've definitely seen coming to visit you in Old Street over the years. And I know that you've got your own connection, no?
Yeah, totally. I bumped into this artist as they were creating their work on the streets opposite Whitechapel Gallery. I was walking past my boyfriend and caught him in action doing it and was completely fascinated. It felt like a really serendipitous moment that you're not really meant to witness as a member of the public. These things, these artworks just seem to appear overnight out of nowhere like mirages, and it's always really exciting to see the artist creating them. Felt like the illusion was kind of, I was seeing behind the Wizard of Oz's curtain. So we had a chat, and then me and you have been talking about it for ages, about get the opportunity to get this artist on, and today it's happening, which is really exciting, because I think it's a fresh, new voice that we've not had on Talk Art yet.
Yeah, well, we would like to welcome to Talk Art, Nathan Bowen.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Nathan.
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, just good. Busy doing street art and the usual lot.
Where in the world are you, Nathan?
I'm in southeast London, Catford, near Lewisham.
Catford, lovely part of the world. Have you? We want to describe you as a street artist or a graffiti artist. Are both of them acceptable, or is there a way that you like to describe your practice?
No, you know what? It's how you want. It's whatever you want to call me. I mean, I basically see myself as an artist.
Yeah.
You know, I go out, paint on the street. Some people say it's graffiti, some people say it's street art. So the idea is it's whatever people want it to be, really. So like, no, I don't really label myself. I just see myself as Nathan Bowen, more like an artist, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you trained at Central St. Martin's, didn't you?
Yeah. I went there. I got in there when I was a year early. I got in there when I was 17.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause I was in school doing, my A levels, and with A levels, I think it's like 2 years. Like, you do the AS, then you do the second year. Then after that, you go uni. So during my first year of the AS levels, I don't know, I wasn't really getting along with the teachers. Especially my graphics and art teacher, weren't really feeling it. So I thought, you know what, I want to leave this school. So I said to the teachers, what do you think about me applying for St. Martin's a year early? And a couple of them were like, yeah, no chance. And one of them said, yeah, man, you could do it. So it was that teacher, her name is called Miss McNair. She gave me the influence to apply.
The confidence to go for it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I got in a year early, so I was like, sweet, man. So basically started uni when I was 17.
Wow. And what was that experience like then, going from 17 to Central St. Martin's? Was it to study fine art or graphic design, did you say?
Yeah, it was fine art. So I did did a foundation year first. Then after the foundation, it was doing the fine art degree. So 1 year of foundation, then the 3 years of the fine art BA honours.
Wow, congratulations, that's amazing. So from there, when did you start creating art on the streets?
So yeah, so it was, I think it was 2008, my final year, sort of came up with these characters. All the characters you see, came up with them about 12 years ago. And this is why I was in my last year of uni, I was just developing the style, getting used to drawing them. So I went from like biro pen drawings, simple biro pens drawing on a piece of paper, to expanding them using like pens and marker pens. So, you know, when I was at St. Martin's, I had a tutorial with my tutor, and I said to my tutor, I want to expand this. I don't want to do these characters on paper. I want to do them bigger. I said to her, what do you recommend? And they were like, oh yeah, if you get a projector screen, you could, you know, you could draw it on acetate paper.
Yeah,
and then project it on the wall. I was like, yeah, that's cool, but that's a bit long. So I just thought, you know what? I just thought I'm just going to get a bigger pen. So, I went from biro pen to Sharpie, Edding permanent marker pen, and started like drawing the characters bigger, but on boards. So before I hit the street, I was doing the characters on like boards, you know, simple like wooden boards, just to practice, you know, the transition from paper to a much bigger size.
And it's interesting thinking about drawing, because the works that you've gone on to create, that you now, if you mention your name, like people can probably imagine it straight away, have this real fluidity and kind of vibrant energy, like of the moving line. Like they're very much linked to that idea of drawing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. I guess like the drawing's like, yeah, freedom for me. I gave up the idea of like, you know, perfection, because I could paint portraits, landscapes, still lifes. So I've learned the basics in art. So while I was at St. Martin's, I just developed that extra, like I developed my uniqueness, my own individual style with the characters I do.
Well, these characters you're talking about are the demons and from the Afterlives art movement that you've created.
Yeah, yeah.
So where did these demons come from? How did you manifest these characters?
So the originals was I was on holiday in Falaraki. I was out with my mates and I was chilling by the pool. And I was like, oh, I'm bored, man. Like, you know, just I'm bored of sitting by the pool watching other people swim. Now, don't get me wrong, I could swim. I've been in the pool thousands of times. But I'm bored of this, you know. So I thought, I want to draw. So, yeah, I just got whipped out a bit of paper. And then got the biro pen and then started drawing this demon character, and he was like, this demon character is the main character to the story. So Afterlives is originally a story, and it's a story of it's a man who dies and he goes to hell, and it's called Afterlives because he's alive in hell, and it's about how this man he turns into half man, half demon. And it's about his journey through hell, how he survives hell. Because, you know, hell was meant to be a place where people get tortured. You know, all the evil people, they got tortured. Now, for me, I don't even believe in heaven and hell. I believe in reincarnation. So I've sort of flipped it. So I thought, you know, instead of like making it into a story of just pure hell and evil characters, I thought, you know what, I could make it into a reincarnation. So that's when Afterlives became more of like an art movement, where I find these dead spaces, these old dead walls around London with all fire posters, just trashiness. And I'll clean up that wall and give it an artistic afterlife. I'll reincarnate that wall. And so, that idea of afterlife, instead of making it into something sinister like heaven and hell, I wanted to bring that into like sort of like recycling, but through artwork. So that's how I came up with Afterlives. And that was my ethos.
I've heard you describe, you gave advice once to other artists of like how to begin. And you were like, you just need to sort of get out there. But you also recommended going to East London and trying to sort of see how you fare, like on the street in East London. Can you talk a bit about the importance of that for you?
So like, I think for me is like, when I first started doing the street art, I was like, where do I paint? Yeah. And it's like, where's the best place? So luckily, from going to St. Martin's, we always used to hang around like Whitechapel, because a lot of the student halls were there as well. So Whitechapel's next to Shoreditch. And so, I've been going to Shoreditch for quite a few years now, and I've always saw this street art there. So I kind of knew that was the place that, you know, if you're going to do street art anywhere, it's going to be Shoreditch, because it's there's artwork there already. It's quite, there's quite a lot of building sites. There was, at the time, there was a lot of building sites. This is before Box Park. This is before it got totally fancy. I was out. This is like 2009. I was out and I see this guy just with a Hi-Vis jacket on painting some nice mural on Brick Lane. And I said to him, mate, how'd you do this? How'd you get permission? He's like, oh, dude, I just asked the owner of this building. So the owner was, it was a curry shop. So I knocked on the door and I said, mate, is it all right if I could paint a little piece maybe tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, man, cool, man. Just come back tomorrow with your Hi-Vis jacket, all good. Then I think it was from that time, I just, yeah, knew the way, knew that, all right, start off Brick Lane. And then after Brick Lane, I sort of made my way to Central, Soho, Holborn. And then, from then, just moved around different parts of London.
But you've also gone internationally, haven't you, with it? You've done it. I've seen your work. Well, we've seen your work in Margate, which isn't international, but it's outside of London. But you've gone other
in
countries.
A number of places as well.
created these works, right?
Yeah. So I've been to a lot of places. Like I've been painting in Cambodia, Philippines, Canada, Italy. I just got back from Albania about a month and a half ago when Albania went painting out there. So yeah, man, over the years, just go to different places and do the same thing, try and find rundown walls. Because like a lot of street artists, they a lot of them paint abroad, but they have like, you know, walls there already for them. And I think that's great. But for me, I don't have the opportunity. I don't have people give me these walls. So for me, I'm on the hunt. You know, I go to these foreign places knowing that I could get arrested, knowing that, you know, yeah, the dangers. But yeah, just go along with, go with the flow and find what I find. And it always works out all right.
What are the dangers?
I've been arrested loads of times. I mean, I've been arrested once internationally, and that was in Croatia. That was 2 years ago. They didn't handcuff me.
So what happens though? What is the law with? Because would this be classed as vandalism from their point of view, or a lawless approach to creating art?
I was painting. I was painting on like an abandoned mall. This mall was like been closed for years. It's just abandoned, and there was no hoarding. So what I learned was, you know, try and paint on hoardings. You got a leg to stand on. But I was painting on the actual concrete building. It had a nice pillar. And then, a policeman came. It didn't arrest me. He just goes, oh, can you come with me to the station? And I had my ladder. This guy was a fat guy, so I could easily outrun him. But I just thought, you know what? I can't be bothered to outrun this guy because I've got my bag full of stuff. I've got a ladder. I'm just going to just deal with it. So, yeah, we literally, like, romantically walked back to the police station, which is only, like, 2 minutes around the corner. So, yeah, there's no handcuffs, which is fine. And, so when I got arrested then, I was in the office, the police office room. I didn't get put in a cell or nothing. And they were just interviewing me, asking me questions. And then, then I came back home. Then, like, I think about a few months later, I got a letter from the Croatian embassy saying, we're giving you a 2 year suspended sentence. So yeah, I couldn't basically commit a crime for 2 years
in Croatia.
Otherwise I'll get put away for 2 months.
Oh wow.
What about London, when you've been arrested in London? How does that work?
London's all right. London, like, I mean, I've been arrested in London and they just put you in a cell for a few hours, interview you. And then after that, they just let you go. And that's it, really. Nothing, it's like a slap on the wrist, basically.
Right.
They don't
right.
confiscate your tools or anything, your
sometimes,
props.
Yeah, they do sometimes. It depends on the police. Like, you know, that's what I believe. Like, it depends on the person. Like, some police are nice, some police aren't. So, yeah, sometimes they give you your cans back and sometimes they keep them. Don't know what they're going to keep them for.
And actually, recently you've been doing like kind of positive messages during lockdown, you know, for the NHS. And I noticed that you've actually included policemen like as some of the figures.
Some of the demons.
Yeah. You can't forget about police. No matter how much people like, you know, I don't know, it's like a bandwagon thing, isn't it? Like people suddenly hating on police. Well, they always have, but. There's different opinions, but for example, you know, I did an art piece for Charing Cross Police Station a year ago, painted the custody suite. And
did you?
Yeah, they commissioned me to paint the custody suite, and it got on the LBC and the Sun newspaper. Wow. And the Sun was just like, yeah, trying to roast it, saying, oh, you know, the Met chief constable wasn't too happy about seeing the artwork there. It's quite funny, actually. so yeah, I had a bit of controversy between that world, and I had controversy in the graph world as well, because a lot of the graphers were like, yo man, what you doing, bruv? What you doing painting for police? What you painting for the enemy? Yeah. So yeah, it was very interesting what happened with
although
that.
In a way you're painting for the people who are going in the custody suites, aren't you, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that's a space that's, you know, inhabited by people that aren't the police, so I actually think it's a really nice sort of place for you to have intervened in a way.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because the police officer that got hold of me, he said to me, oh mate, this is amazing. But he said to me, mate, I don't know how people are going to take this. He said to me, this is different. We never do this. And I was like, yeah, right. Fair enough. It is different.
Is it still there? And is it demon, like police demons?
Yeah. So police demons. I've got a few of my characters and saying positive messages. Like, are you inspired? Messages saying like, you know, keep calm. Because a lot of the police have to deal with like angry guys, a lot of angry guys that get arrested. But I've spent a lot of time in Soho. I've met a lot of the homeless people there, and a lot of people that have actually been in the cell. I've been doing artwork, and they said, "Oh mate, I know you. Yeah, mate, I've seen your stuff in the police station." And I'm like, "Oh, cool, man." I always ask them, "Dude, how does it make you feel?" And they're like, "Yo, man, I like it. It's all right." And that's the main thing. As long as those people that are, you know, those people that are in the cell or that have been arrested, as long as they see something positive out of the artwork, that makes me feel happy.
Yeah. What do people assume about street artists and graffiti artists or graph artists? Is there something that the public assume which isn't true? And is there things that we don't know which go on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of with graffiti artists, it's a whole different world. Like, so you got graffiti writers, you got graffiti artists. So graffiti artists are the guys who do graffiti, but they might do murals, but with graffiti letters. They make places look nice, but with graffiti. Then you get like graffiti writers that just go out and just write on anything, get their names up. So it's with that attitude, you know, with the graffiti writers, they're more like, you know, they're more, they see themselves as like rustic, more like raw, you know, I'll spray anywhere, I don't care, I'll spray a train. Then you get the graffiti artists that get paid for what they do. They could do all the tags and they could do all the writing, but you know, they go for the glory. So it's like the graffiti writers are sort of like, you know, they're like the bottom feeders, man. And when they see the street artist hitting them walls, some of them don't like it. Some of them feel like, yo, man, we were here before the street artists. And yeah. Some of them believe that the council get the street artists to come out and take out all the graffiti and the street artists get paid for it. That's what they believe that always happens. But it's not always the case. You know, you get artists like me, I didn't get permission. I'm just as illegal as the graffiti guys.
Yeah,
but I'm
yeah,
smarter. Yeah. I'm more educated. Like I'll go out, I do it during the day and I wear a high-vis jacket. So I'm still doing illegal stuff, but I'm not like them. I don't go out like late night with my hood up doing that. You know, I'm more mastermind, you know, more calculated.
Well, you're more out in the open, so people just assume that if you're out in the open then and you're in a high viz, it's legal and what you've got permission, right?
Exactly. I mean, I learned about the thing with life. When you do this sort of thing, you need to be brazen. That's, you know, that's the word, brazen. The more brazen you are, the better. And that's what I learned, because I used to be graffiti. I used to graph. I used to do train tracks. I used to graph like 2003. And yeah, I got arrested back then. And I was like, nah, man, you know what? I was sitting in a cell. I was about 17 years old. And I thought, this is long, mate. Like, you know, it's about 4 a.m. All my mates are in bed. And I was like, mate, I've got school tomorrow. You know, I ain't going to school because I'm in a cell. And two, there's got to be another way. And that's what inspired me, like to go St. Martin's, you know, get out of the graph, and you know, use my talent. I've got a talent, you know, I want to use it properly.
Yeah, totally.
Can you make money from street art, Nathan? Have you made money or are able to do that?
I've been making a living from street art for about 8 years now.
Really?
Yeah, since 2012. I was on the Apprentice, Lord Sugar, BBC.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I was on there, and from that program, that changed my life. People
really?
Yucky there, yeah. People were buying my artwork, and since then it's just been uphill.
And you've actually got a website, haven't you, where you sell prints and you sell your artwork, NathanBowenArtShop.com.
Yeah.
And obviously, I guess, with Instagram as well, no? Instagram must have really helped.
Yeah, because Instagram's a good way of like doing adverts and promoting stuff.
I just bought one of your original drawings of a construction worker demon.
You bought the builder, innit? Have you got it?
Yeah, the villa. Yeah, it's got it.
Oh, nice, you've got it, yeah? Oh, cool.
Yeah. I got it for my boyfriend because he's just studying to be an architect. So I thought it was a bit like construction-y, architecturally.
And also, Russell's boyfriend is like a big fan of yours. I think that's partly how we discovered you, in a way.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
because we saw.
So, where are you making all these prints?
They're not prints; they're all originals. So I make them from home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're all original. I don't really do prints, to be honest.
Right.
I do.
You're selling unique works, yeah. Yeah, so that's brilliant. So you can buy your work for like 100 quid, 150 quid. It's brilliant. 75 quid.
Yeah. I like to keep it affordable. Awesome. My aim is to basically keep it that way. I don't want to be one of these artists that, you know, suddenly, like over a few years, they start selling their work for extraordinary prices and not everyone could buy it. I want to keep it where, you know, yeah, like I see myself as a member of the public and I like to cater to all people, and that's what the street art does. So like, you know, when you do artwork in the streets is the gallery, and you know, there's the only one place people travel is on the street, whether you're in your car or on the bus, it's the street. If you need to go to the shop, you have to walk on the street. So I always apply that sort of mode to my artwork. And you know, with that, loads of people are seeing it. Doctors, nurses, alcoholics, everyone's seeing it. So yeah, man, like my artwork applies to just everyone. Rather than like if I was a high-end artist that only put my work in galleries, it sort of limits my market. Okay, I've got a big market selling for loads of money, but I want everyone to enjoy it. Young children, single mothers that really can't afford that. That's what I'm about, you know?
Wicked.
Nathan, that's amazing.
So which artists sort of inspired you when you were growing up then? Because if you were doing like the writing side of it in 2003, like when you went to St. Martin's, were you looking at art? Like were there people that inspired you?
Yeah, so I mean like, so back in the graffiti days, what got me on graffiti was going on a train with my mum, you know, from Catford to Charing Cross. And I'll see all the graffiti there on the trains, so colourful. And back then, they didn't really clean it up, they just left it. So you'd be on the train, and there's just so much different things to look at, different colours, different letters. And I remember, I think my mum took me, we went to somewhere, I think must have went to like Aquarium or somewhere like that, somewhere up central. And I remember like, I said to myself, as soon as I get home, I'm gonna start drawing some graffiti on paper. And I remember like, coming home, drawing, had my pencil out, my felt tip pens, and just drawing what I saw. I remember that day. And yeah, so that got me doing the graffiti. And seeing artists like Zombie, he runs a shop called Chrome and Black. That's a graffiti shop.
Uh-huh.
And he's a big part of the graffiti game. He's a big inspiration. But then when I was going to uni and just leaving school, I was looking at more like fine artists. So there was a Dutch painter of the, I think it was from the 16th century. He's called Hieronymus Bosch.
Love Hieronymus Bosch.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was him. He's my, he's the one that got me painting the demons, because he's the one who drew all the images of hell. All these mad people getting tortured. You know, you look into the artwork and you're like, what is going on? Different things are happening within that one piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So he completely inspired Jake and Dinos Chapman as well. Do you know their work? Jake and Dinos Chapman. They did something called Fucking Hell, which is this kind of like Hieronymus Bosch, but it's a sculpture. And it's this whole... You'd look that up. You'd really like that.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah. I'll check that out. Yeah.
I've always found Hieronymus Bosch so like future thinking, like to think that he was doing that back then.
Yeah.
And it's so complicated, and the stuff in those paintings is so messed up. It's genius. Like,
yeah, that's it.
It's actually just, yeah, it's humanity, really, isn't it? At its worst.
Man was ahead of his time, wasn't he?
Big time, yeah.
So I started looking his stuff basically, and so I thought, I want to get like a modern day twist on it. So like do it my style. So yeah, I sort of started doing the demons. So the demons you see now, they, you know, 10 years ago, they were slightly different. They were slightly more figurative. They looked more human like, but more, yeah, they were sort of more figurative. So you could tell, oh, that's his head. That's his shoulders. But now they're sort of like, no, they look more like frog-like now, kind of. They've got the wider eyes. They look different now. So that's the, over the years how, I don't know, from doing it again and again, sort of just slowly, slowly changes. Sort of like now sort of, the lines now are more minimalised. Because when I first started, I used to do crazy lines, just full of lines, crazy cross-hatching lines. Now I use a lot less lines now. I don't know why. I quite like the art work more cleaner, I guess. And I don't know. Maybe it's subconscious. Maybe back then, like, you know, in my early 20s, I don't know. I was broke. Man, I was going through different struggles. But now, I don't know. Now I've got my career. I do art. So maybe like the idea of me simplifying the drawings, simplifying the lines. I don't know. It's a way of like, you know, my mind saying, "Yo, bruv, you've kind of at ease now, bro. You don't have to work so much hard." I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just subconsciously
cut down on the lines. Not as angry, maybe. You're not as like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the struggle.
Raging as much. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of rage back then.
I think your the sort of language of your drawings is so you, like it's so distinctively you, that I guess you've just grown in confidence in, you know, and so even less drawings now, you can still recognise it as you, like less lines.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man. I've got my symbol, you know, the demon head. And that's just like the head of the character. And I make stickers out of that. I've got my hat. Yeah, a bit of merch. You know, I mean, just for myself, though. I mean, the stickers are for to give away to people. But like today I was out. Nowadays, I go out now and I'll be wearing my stuff, like, you know, demon head on my hat. And today I was just walking down my road and someone was like, "Oh, are you Nathan Bowen?" And I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Yeah, I love your work." So even now, like just wearing the demon head on its own, people just recognising that. And it's doing its job. That minimal, that one character.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Do you like it when people stop you on the street when you're actually making the work, like when you met Russell and Steve? Is that part of the enjoyment of it, like the communication on that level too, or is it more annoying because you're getting interrupted?
No, it's all right, because it's a communal thing, isn't it? You know, you're out on the street, and I wear that. I like it because it's communal, and you don't normally see people doing that. You know, during the day, you don't see people. You don't really catch the artists in the action, do you?
Yeah.
So I look at it from someone else's perspective and be like, "All right, man, you know what, mate? Like, you've given your time to say hi, so I'll say hi back and appreciate that." And that eggs me on. That makes me think, you know what? Yes, man. Like, yes, society likes this. Yeah, I'm doing something which society accepts. It makes me feel like, yeah, I'm a part of society. I've done my bit in that way.
Amazing.
And talking about society, in your work, you've painted people like the Queen, and there's lots of kind of references to Great Britain and Britishness, even like icons like Amy Winehouse. And I know you have also done American people, like heroes like Elvis Presley, or even other musicians like Bob Marley and people. But what is that theme of Britishness for you, like in your work?
I mean, for me, it's like, I'm born, you know, my parents are British. And my grandparents, they were the ones that came over from Jamaica and Barbados. So, and it's the idea of like, yeah, like, the British flag is always, it's a bit of a stigma, isn't it? People always take it as a negative thing, especially all the years ago. That strag has a lot of badness to it. So I think like through artwork, we could change that. And it's our flag. Right. We're stuck with it, aren't we? We're stuck with that flag. We're not going to have a vote and change the flag. It's always going to be that flag. So like, you know, why not get rid of that negative stigma and, you know, put up, yeah, change the vibe. So with the character I've done, the Cold Stream Guard, normally they have the black bear skin hat, but I thought I'd do the Union Jack in that. And we want to bring in tourists. We want immigrants to come to our country and feel safe. You know, we want to bring them in. Yeah. When they're coming to this country and they're seeing the Union Jack, we want them to feel welcome, innit? We don't want to run them out.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So that's it, really. Changing opinion on the flag, and I love the flag as well. I like the design, the great colour scheme, the red and the blues and the white. Those colours work so well together as well. So it's not just about the reason of like what the flag stands for. It's also just simple of what it looks like. It's a beautiful flag.
I've seen one of the demons that looks slightly like Jerry Halliwell on the Brit Awards that year where she had the Union Jack dress. I'm sure I spotted a Jerry Halliwell demon somewhere.
You might have done, but you know what? I'm going to bring that back, mate.
Yeah, one, mate. Do it. So when you find a wall, when you make an artwork on the wall, how does it feel if you then go back and someone else has tagged over it, graffitied over it, or it's been taken away? Or do you feel really bereft when this goes? Is it a painful experience, or are you quite happy for them to be recycled and move on and you just keep going?
It depends. There's different factors. So like, one of the fact, right, so for example, if I do it on a building site and the building site buff it out, it's annoying, but okay, it wasn't meant to be. That's fair enough. It's their building site. I accept that. But when someone else comes, yeah, when it's another graffiti artist or someone else comes and they destroy it, you know, it's just, it's intentional, isn't it? Like, it's disrespectful. So yeah, I don't like it when people go over my work, because I don't go over their work. I find my own wall. I do my research. I do my own wall. I do my own bit. But when people, like, what it is, people, like, yeah, people know that I'm a name, innit? So it's attack the name. People just come for me because they know they can. Oh, yeah, there's an Nathan Byrne piece. Oh, let's just vandal it. Like how Banksy was getting vandaled. Now he make a nice bit of artwork and other guys would just come and vandal it just because they know he's a name and they've got the power to. That's what it is as well. And also guys like, you know, you write at Nathan Byrne Art. So these guys know, oh man, these people over here are taking photos. So they'll put their tag on it. So they'll get tagged in the photos too with their name on it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I call them street.
Like
call
a
street,
hijack.
They're leeches, yeah, street leeches. They're leeches. You got the street leeches, people that will just jump on. Like me, I'm raw. I'll find the wall. I'll hit it originally. I'll hit it first. And then a month later, another guy will hit it. But this other guy, he would never hit it in the first place until I did it, you know? It's psychological, yeah. Isn't it? It's like when one person does something, the others follow. But it's always everyone waiting for that one person to do something, isn't it? It's like in the movie. You're watching a Hollywood movie and, I don't know, something's happening and one guy becomes the hero, gets brave, and everyone's like, yo, man, let's follow this guy, let's do that. And that's what it's at. That's what it is. Like, you know, people just jumping on the wall. Like, oh, yeah, man. He's hit this wall. We're going to jump on that too. But they never would have done it in the first place.
What do you think about Banksy? What do you think about like being compared, obviously, as a street artist because he's like the biggest street artist in the world? Do you feel like think he's doing an incredible thing, or do you find it annoying to be associated with him?
I think he's a great artist. He's been doing his thing for years, very, very long time. Very long time. He's put his work in. I remember seeing his work, what, back in like 2005? Mm-hmm. But he's around before that. So, yeah, I don't know, man. That guy's part of the media, isn't it? that guy's part of the media, mate. That guy is. I can't say I know him, though. I know a good friend of his, definitely, but I can't say I know him personally. I don't know him personally, no. But yeah, he's a great, his artwork's wicked because he's so versatile, isn't he? He does the stencils, then also he does like the sculptures and he does his political messages as well. So that guy is so versatile. So I think, artists should look up to him for his versatility in what he does.
I've always thought about street art as well, and like artists like graffiti artists. The thing I always liked about it is the kind of the element of like resistance and also like messages, and particularly in your work when you see the demons like holding signs up and they often have slogans on them, like very short phrases like stay safe or are you inspired or help others, think positive. And I feel like having that in the world, you know, where you're sort of walking on the streets and you see those positive messages that you're giving people, when did you sort of bring that into it?
So it was a few years ago. I used to be a youth worker. And one of my head youth workers said to me, oh, you know, you should write little messages in your work so people could look at that and think about it. And I was like, all right. And then, so I was thinking about, oh, what if I like write a message? Like, what if I write a message like, you know, like that, have a question mark? And then she's like, no, maybe something like, you know, are you inspired? I was like, all right. So it was basically my youth worker that told me to start writing that in my messages. And so since, thanks to her, I've just been doing it since then. And that was like, I think it was like 2010.
Right. So then during lockdown, you sort of made a lot of work, no? On the streets.
Yeah, there was loads of boarded up shops. So I thought, yeah, man, it's time for the get-go, isn't it? they've had so much locations. There's a billboard company called Billboard Media. They messaged me and they said, we've got no more campaigns. So do you want to paint a few of our billboards with a few positive messages? So, it was good. Like, didn't just get boarded up shops, got a couple of billboards too.
Amazing. Wicked. I've watched a video of yours on YouTube where you basically break down your day, what it is to make street art when you set out from home. And you've got your dog, by the way. Can we talk about your dog that is just always with you?
Yeah, Clay. Yeah. She's a good dog. Yeah, she's a Belgian Shepherd cross wolf dog. Very smart dog. I trained her off lead as well, so like, you know, when I go out.
Yeah, I can see that in the video. She's running everywhere, but she's not in the road. She's like really streetwise.
Yeah. It's just like training. You know what I mean? Like going out doing street art. And you know, when she's really young, I'll have a lead for her. And then eventually, it was, you know, knew that this dog kind of got used to knowing that, all right, you know, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm here to stay. So she sort of like realizes, just chill. It's a good dog to have, really. Just knows the way, really. It's a dog with sense, isn't it? Dog's got sense.
Yeah. Well, in this video, I saw that you were collaborating with a lot of artists. There was an artist there called Harry Blackmore. And then I've read up you've collaborated with someone called Sam Kerridge, Steve McCracken, Ernest Obie. Do you enjoy collaborating with other street artists and working alongside them? Is that something that inspires you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it really does. Because, you know, you're kind of getting into someone else's mind in that way, but artistically. So, you know, we're two minds, or three minds with different people, and we've got our ideas, and it's like, how can we put this together? So I've got my style, he's got his style, she's got her style, and it's like, okay, we've got this one wall, let's blend it in. So we sort of like learn from each other like that way.
And yeah, and it's a challenge. You know, I've got my usual way of doing my things. Now I'm working with other people. It's good to, mix up the styles. And I like to treat artwork like music. Like, you know, you see all these different artists collaborating, all these different rock stars collaborating, all the rappers collaborating. I like to treat, like, I like to have the same idea with artwork, you know? Like, Eminem will contact 50 Cent, they do a track, they release it. It was like, wow, man, Eminem and 50 Cent, wow. So why can't it be like, you know, yeah, like Nathan Bowen and someone else doing things like that? I find these artists like too solo. Yeah. A lot of these artists are too solo. They're like, you know, they're quite reclusive. Art is quite a reclusive thing. So if we could sort of share that, you know, I like to go, I'll get people around the house. We have art jams. You know, we do artwork together, have a canvas. I do a character, then he does a character, then we've got a whole bit together. That's what I try and encourage. Years ago, that was quite hard to get, but I guess, like, thanks to Instagram and that, it's sort of easier to connect with people now.
Yeah, totally. Mm. When's your next treasure hunt?
Next treasure hunt?
I saw somewhere on Brick Lane you hid an original work by you with your number on the back, and
I
they were texting
it.
And you. Yeah.
I actually remember that.
That was a while ago. I don't know, man. I've got to do that again, I guess. Yeah.
I love that. You've got to do it when this goes out. You're amazing because
such a good idea.
You hid some art and then it was your card on the back and they were textured and then you'd go and meet them and you'd sign the original for them.
Yeah. That worked out really well.
What happened? What happened on the day then?
Yes, I think I'd done it on Facebook and Twitter. That was
And so who found it?
It was a couple, and I remember I was in Brick Lane with my mate and my brother, and then we hit the piece and we stood like, you know, just round a corner from it, but we could see the people. We saw the people, like, so we was like, all right, let's lift a few tweets, left a few clues, just round this bar, not far from here. Then, yeah, we see, I hid it behind like a green electric box. It was behind a green electric box. And I remember seeing these two people just come and they grabbed it. And I was like, yo, man, sweet, mate, you got it. And we got a photo with them. And I've got to do more of that.
I loved it again.
There were loads of people at the time searching for it. And I remember like a few people, because that's when I had the gallery in East London. And I remember loads of people that I knew going, trying to find it, and no one could find it. It's hilarious.
Yeah. This time I do probably more pieces, scatter them about, innit? Like, have them.
Oh, it's such a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's probably do it on that Brick Lane strip, innit? Like, because you could do it anywhere, innit? Yeah. So you've got to sort of narrow it down. Like, it's going to be somewhere in Shoreditch. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows Shoreditch, so I guess, yeah, keep it Shoreditch.
Amazing. Well, that'd be brilliant. We ask every guest that comes on two very important questions. The first one is, if you could do an art heist, you could steal any work of art in the world from anywhere in the world, and it can be big, small, a building, something that you can fit in your hand, whatever it is, what would it be and why?
Art heist, yeah?
Yeah.
You know what? It's got to be... Yeah, it's probably got to be it's got to be the crown jewels, mate.
They're in the Tower of London, aren't they?
Yeah,
I was going to say, where are they? Are they in the Tower?
I want to be the King of London one day, man. Yeah, be the crown jewels, man.
That's true.
We've never had that answer. I love that. That is very good. The other question we ask every guest is, what is your favourite colour and why?
Favourite colour? I mean, I don't really have a favourite colour, but the colours I mainly use, I mainly like greens. Greens and earthly colours. Because, green represents the earth. I like gardening too. It's a shame, like, you know, it's autumn now because everything's going yellow. We're going to lose that greenery. It'd probably be green. Most of my clothes are green as well.
Amazing. Do you live with art in your house? Do you have any of your own work up? Like, it's your kid up there in the background. Are they surrounded by artwork?
Yeah. So I have like loads of I have other pieces up too, not just my stuff. My brother, he's called Dino X. That's his artist name, Dino X. And I have a piece of his up. I've got some Insta work. I've got a lot of street signs, because basically one of my mates, he works for Conway. Conway's the road workers that do all the roads.
Developers.
So
right.
Yeah. So he works with them. So he gets me loads of street signs, like cycle lane signs, 40-mile-an-hour signs. So I've got a lot of those around my house too, like just random street signs. I've got do you know a traffic light? Yeah, the green man. So you've got traffic light in three sections. You've got the red light, the amber light, and the green light. So I've got the green light in my living room as well. So I could switch on the light and you see the green man come on with the black background.
No, that's so cool.
Yes, I've got... Yeah,
somewhere there's a crash happening while you're playing around with the light in your living room.
But yeah, so
someone is never crossing that road.
Yeah, so I just have loads of random street ephemera signs in my house.
Yeah.
I want to bring that street vibe to my home, you know.
Amazing.
So you mentioned your brother there, who's also an artist. So when you were growing up, were you sort of encouraged to be creative, or do you think you've encouraged each other?
Yeah, we sort of encouraged each other. I mean, like, I think he got it from me, because he's my younger brother. So I think when we've been drawing since we were kids. So he must have seen me draw, and then he started drawing. Then he stopped drawing for a few years, because he went to like Miami Uni. He studied American Studies in Miami Uni. Then he lived in Australia. Then he I think he's been back in England for the past 5-6 years. And since then, since the past five years, he's been like, yo, man, focus on his art. So all those years he didn't do his art, he sort of realized art is the one. So now, yeah, he's working his way up in the art game. I think now he's doing art kind of full time now too.
Wow. Is there an artwork where people can go and find you that you're most proudest of? What is the work that if you want people to go and see for the first time if they've not seen your work before?
What piece would I like to go to see? I think it's probably got to be the Allgate one, the one I met when I met you. I think
obviously the Whitechapel Gallery.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, the Whitechapel Gallery one, because... that's just, I don't know, it's such a nice long strip of them, you know. I think that's the longest strip I've done with them. So I think that one, the one by Whitechapel Gallery, that one, yeah, to be honest. Amazing. I've got so many, but that one's, that's worthy, because they, you know, they could walk up and down and probably get a feel of it, because it's quite a few metres, that one.
And, if
you live in Margate, there's one in Westbrook, and then there's one in the High Street, like going towards the High Street. What actually brought you to Margate?
Oh yeah, I'm just doing a UK tour. The UK tour's on, so like whenever I'm ready, I just get a train and go to a different part of the UK. So so far I've done Margate, I've done Brighton, I've done Portsmouth, I've done Northampton, I've done Nottingham. Just random places, innit? Like in the UK. So yeah, I call it the out and about tour. So whenever I'm out and about, I just take a few cans with me, take some paint, and just go to these random places and see what I could find, innit? Like, you know, it's going back to the old school days when I first started, like never knowing what I'm going to paint, but I've got my high-vis jacket, I've got my paints with me, let's just do it. You know, that spontaneous sort of painting, like unorganised, but in a different city, in a different town, you know. And I like to explore UK. There's more to life than just London, isn't it? It's like, there's tons of spots, innit? So, yeah. I like to go out.
Do you get kind of like adrenaline rushes? Is it quite like exciting, that whole kind of adventure almost?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, you know, going to a new town, don't know what the town's like. You don't know what these people, how these people are. It's exciting. Yeah, yeah, it mixes it up a bit. You know, you got to break the comfort zone. You got to get out of that comfort a little bit to make you learn. It rises you. You know. You can't always have comfort. Having comfort, it makes you complacent. You need to sort of like go through that sort of like, have that fear, like, oh, I'm going into like the deep, the unknown. That's why I go places like Albania, because I paint there, risky, don't know what's going to happen. But when I come back here now, it makes painting hair so easy. And that's why I do it. I put myself through the hard time. So when I paint hair now, it's just easy. I just
feels relaxing.
Yeah, I have no fair hair. I'm not in Albania where I don't speak their language. There's hardly any black people. Like, Jesus, like, what's going on? But I'm, you know, yeah, so I'm out of the comfort zone, but I'm still doing what I do. So if
do you
I have
by
that,
yourself?
I'll go with my mate, Blackmore. I'll go with Blackmore. Right.
Harry Blackmore,
Harry Blackmore, yeah, he comes out of me. We go out and do our little thing. But yeah.
And do you know where you're going to tag next? Or not tagged, where you're going to make art next? What wall?
Yeah, I've got a location. I'm probably going to paint. We've got a nice warehouse to paint. Up in West London near Wembley. But one of my closer pieces, I'll be painting up Tottenham Court Road. Yeah, there's a nice wall up Tottenham Court Road. So yeah, that's going to be my latest piece up Tottenham Court Road.
Amazing.
Do you paint every day as well?
No, I mean, I do stuff from home mainly, but I mean, like, maybe like what, two or three times a week I do street art. Right. So I mix it up. So yeah, most
it just
times
feels like
I'm at home.
You absolutely love it and you feel like you have to do it and get these messages out there.
Yeah, man, it's great because it keeps things on the edge for me. It's on the edge for me. It makes life on the edge. I feel sometimes every day could be the same, like at home, put on the TV, watch a bit of Netflix. It's easy. So when I do the street art, it gives me that edge. Like I go out and and I paint a new wall, a new location. And then knowing the fact that, you know, the streets are never going to run away. So there's loads more out there somewhere. There's loads more walls. So I play that in my life and I always got a new wall to paint somewhere.
I love that. I also loved it when you said art is the one.
Yeah. Definitely.
Amazing stuff.
Changed my life.
You're wicked, man. We love you.
Thank you.
Cheers,
for coming
man. Thank
on,
you.
Nathan.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, of course. No, big fans. This has been a really amazing chat with you because I think it's a side of the art world that a lot of people have no idea what goes on and what it involves.
Yeah, that's right.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much
for coming on. Yeah. And for everyone listening to this, you can visit Nathan's website, which is where you can also buy all the unique work. So you can show your love there, which is nathanbowenartshop.com. And then also on Instagram at nathanbowenart. And you've got loads of followers there and lots of passionate people loving what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. Yeah, thanks for that, guys.
No, of course. Thank you.
Is there anything else you wanna mention?
just a big shout out to everyone staying strong, everyone staying positive, and just a shout out to people that are just doing their keeping their head down, doing their art, just keep it up what they're doing. That's it, really. Everyone just doing what they're doing, everyone doing their thing. That's important. Everyone doing their thing, letting no one bring you down. Just all love. That's what it's about. Just being focused. Keeping at your goals, no matter how hard things get in the way, you can always get through, you know. So we need that. Creative people need that, you know, that advice, that, keep it totally up.
You're really good news, Nathan. Thank you so much for coming on,
mate. Big time.
Brother, thank you.
Amazing. All right, thank you so much.
All right.
Cool, man.
We'll be back very soon.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, mate.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamond and Russell Tovey.
Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in today's episode, with music by Jack Northover.
Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.